And now for reading and writing and radio.
I know you told me not to, but I did. I know you told me not to, but I did. I know you told me not to, but I did it anyway. So if you want to spank me, do it another day. I know you told me not to tease my sister, but I did it anyway. I know you told me not to, but...
The author of that poem was Bill Cockrell, from Mr. Ortman's 6th grade, Ridgely School, Springfield. But it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today's idea, I know you told me not to, but, came from Mrs. Kitchen's 4th grade at Iliopolis last spring, and they sent along a batch of writing to go with it, Disobedience and Its Results. My dad told me not to hit John, but I did. One day when it was raining, I asked my mom if I could go outside. She said no, but when she was gone. One time my mom told me not to ride my bike because it was raining, but I did it anyway. My mom told me to stop throwing gas in the fire because my uncle did it when he was a little boy and was in the hospital 2 years. My mom told me not to go near the creek, but I did it anyway. My folks would say to me, "Don't get in the cookie jar." My dad used to tell me not to brush my hair in the kitchen because it always ends up in the supper. There are Beginnings by Kevin Murphy, Sally Miller, Steve Whiteside, Steve Stanton, Brenda Meyer, Terry Freeman, and Becky Snyder. Today I have my daughters, Elspeth and Jillian, recording with me. And why don't we skip Mrs. Kitchen's class for a moment and go to Mr. Ortman's class at Ridgely School in Springfield, because I asked them if they'd send us in some I know you told me not to buts, too. Jill, here's one by Kevin Carrier, who is in that class.
Well, one day, Sunday, I was walking home from church, and I went by a bakery, and they had a chocolate rabbit in the window, and I wanted it. It was 2:35, and I reached in my pocket and pulled out $3. So I went inside and bought it, and when I was walking down the street, eating my chocolate rabbit, and I got home, and my hands were red, and my whole body was red, I broke out in hives, and I went in, and my mom said, "Kevin, I told you not to, but you did. I told you never to eat chocolate, but you did. But, Mom, I'm sorry, all right. Get a bath ready, and I'll call the doctor."
There's a kid with an allergy, right? This is Bruce Butch Saley, who is in Mr. Ortman's class, and Elspeth will read that.
I was at my friend's house, and he told me not to get out his gun, but I did when he went into the bathroom. He came back in, and I didn't know it was loaded. He had a glass of soda in his hand. The gun went off. It shot his glass, and it looked like a water fountain.
Yeah, it could have shot him, and he could have looked like a different sort of fountain. That's a highly dangerous...
Oh, you mean it's a real gun?
Maybe it was just a BB gun.
Thinking it was a BB gun? Well, let's hope so. That's a dangerous thing, even though with a BB gun you could put out an eye. Greg Cunningham wrote this story. Jill will read it.
One day I was playing in the parking lot, and I was playing on the outside stairway. My mom looked out the window and found me climbing it, and she said, "Get down," and she didn't know that I found a brown paper bag. And she yelled at me, and I kept saying, but, no buts about it, go to your room. So I did, and finally she said, "What were you going to say?" "I found a brown paper bag." She said, "What's in it?" I said, "Well, I don't know," and so we looked, and it was a lot of money. And so we went to the police, and he said, "If no one claims it in a month, it's yours." So we waited. It seemed like a year. The day came, and no one claimed it, so we put it in the bank.
Sounds like a good luck story. We asked Mrs. Spears' class down at Auburn for some of these stories, too, and we had a sort of similar one, no brown paper bag. One day I wanted to go bike riding, says Aaron Divjak, but my mom said no. I went anyway, and on my way I found a $100 bill on the road. I picked it up and rode to the lost and found and gave it to them. I said, if no one claims it, will I get it? I went home and told my mom and dad. They were happy, but they still punished me for going on the bike ride. After three more days, the lost and found came over and gave me the $100 bill. I was happy no one claimed it. Then my mom and dad was happy, too. I can bet. Jillian, here is Tammy, no last name, from Mrs. Spears' class.
One day I was playing tag, and I accidentally broke my mother's favorite rose bush. Suddenly I picked up the rose bush and ran and hid the rose bush in the cornfield. Later on, my mother came to water the rose bush and found out that it was broke and missing. She called us kids. I said to myself, oh no. She asked me if I did it. I said no. Then my mom asked Teddy if he did it. He said no. She didn't believe him, so she took him in the house and told me I better not be lying. I felt glad that it was him and not me.
Got away with it, and the brother got punished, I take it. Here's Mary Buck in Mrs. Spears' class. Elspeth, would you read that, please?
You told me not to stand on the new chair with my shoes on, but I did. I was getting a game down for me and my friend, so I stepped on the chair and got down a game. The next day, the pink chair was all dirty. About a week later, my mom asked me what happened to the chair, and I told her Terry stood on the chair. And Terry said she didn't. My mom still hasn't found out.
Stacy King writes that she was not supposed to get her clean clothes dirty because they were going someplace, and she went outside and started riding her bike and got her pants leg caught in the chain. I went inside and sat down in the chair. When my mom came out of the bathroom, she found oil all over my pants. She asked me what I was doing. I told her. Then she said, didn't I tell you not to get dirty? I told her, yes, you did, Mom. She said, I'm not going to let you go now. Scott is in Mrs. Spears' class. Jillian, here's a story that ought to be familiar to all of us.
My mom told me not to take any peanut butter cookies from the shelf. So she went to the store. About 2 minutes later, I was in the cookies. I never got caught. I didn't feel guilty then. But at supper time, boy, did that blow. Tell you another thing is that the cookies tasted good, too.
Sounds like the mother had planned those for dessert for supper, and then there weren't any when they got there, because he'd eaten them. Let's return to Mrs. Kitchen's class. Elspeth, here is Lisa Howard, who's told us this story.
I remember the time I went to the store, and my mom told me not to go to the store. When I got back, I got in trouble. Then my mom told my dad, and I was grounded. I could not go out of our yard. I was mad, and then I thought of something, so I asked my cousin to call and invite me to spend the week with her, and it worked. When I came back, my mom and dad forgot all about it until my sister said, "You're still grounded." I could have killed her, because she opens her mouth all the time. I was very, very mad. I didn't talk to her for a month.
Amy Weber writes this story.
It was just the other day when this man we knew came to our house. He and my dad went somewhere, and my mom was at the beauty shop. Brenda, Angie, and me were playing Charlie's Angels. Angie was Jill, Brenda was Sabrina, and I was Kelly. We all went into the field, which my dad told me not to ever go in the field because a tractor might hit me and no one would ever know. Well, anyway, right as we got about halfway in, my dad came home. My friends tried to hide me, and I thought he didn't see me, so I got out real quick, and we kept on playing. When we finally had to go in, my dad said, "What were you doing out in the field?" My stomach flopped. I thought I stopped breathing. When I finally found my voice, I said, "We were playing Charlie's Angels." He said, "Well, I can think of lots of other things for Charlie's Angels to do, like do the dishes and clean your room." I said, "Okay, Dad," and I didn't even get in trouble.
Steve Stanton writes from Mrs. Kitchen's class, and we read his beginning. The beginning was throwing the gas in the fire. and his uncle did it when he was a little boy and was in the hospital for 2 years because his clothes caught on fire. Else, why don't you finish up the story right there?
One of his legs was burnt bad, and I did it. And he showed me his leg, and he still has the scars on his leg from the burn. And I got in trouble, so I had to stay in the house for 2 weeks, and now I don't do it anymore since then.
Yeah, smart thing. Don't throw gas in a fire. This person says, please don't read her story on the radio, and so I won't read it, but I'll read the very end of it and change the names, because she's got an interesting twist. She disobeyed. Mom said, Nancy, come here. Mom said, why did you go down to Betsy's house when I told you not to? I can't remember what I said, but I got grounded. That wasn't what hurt me. It was that I didn't mind my mom when she told me don't go any place, and I did go out of the yard. That's what hurt me the most. Well, I asked Jill and Elspeth for the program that we're doing today what were their stories on I Know You Told Me Not To, But, and their memories were very poor. And I think this is probably because it's not very wise to tell your mother stories about I Know You Told Me Not To, But. So we don't have any from Jill and Else, but the director of WSSR, Brad Swanson, who's the operations director, he told us a story. He said that when he was a kid, his parents told him not to play with a certain kid that lived in the next block because that kid was a bad influence. And so, of course, Brad went down and played with the kid, and the kid said, let's go buy some cigarettes. And they were, what, you were about 8 years old, Brad? And so they went out and bought cigarettes and smoked them, and I imagine that the parents found out because Brad was somewhat sick from it. He says he was an easy follower, and when he got home, that the wrath really came down on him. We also have some stories from Jackie Kitchen and Ron Kitchen over at Iliopolis. Jackie teaches fourth grade. Ron is the principal over there, and we got talking about this program. And Jackie Kitchen told how her brother lifted the lid of the waffle iron when the waffle was not done. The mother had said, don't open the waffle iron, and if you've ever watched a waffle iron, you know it's a great temptation to pick up that lid and before it's done. Well, he lifted up the lid, and you know what happens. The waffle isn't done, and then you have to scrape the whole thing off. And so she poured it in for the next waffle, and the kid, the brother, lifted it up again. And his mother was so disgusted with him that she clunked him on the head with the cup that she was holding. And it apparently didn't hurt his head, but it did break the cup. And then Jackie Kitchen told another story. This, I think, was about herself, that she had been told not to sit on the oven door. You know how an oven door opens out, and of course you never sit on it when it's hot, but for some reason or other, she had been told numerous times by her father not to sit on the oven door. And so one day she sat on it, and the oven door kept right on going down, and the father had to solder it back. And Jackie didn't tell me what happened after that, but I imagine that she got it. And then Ron told his story about the parachute and the padlock. And this was outside after church. He had made a parachute using a dish towel with a padlock hanging down for the passenger. And his parents had told him not to use it and certainly not to have it at church. And so right outside the church, he threw it up in the air and he watched the parachute come down and the padlock landed on his face and broke his nose. So he was punished by the Lord, I think, for taking his parachute and padlock to church.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
The Lord works in mysterious ways, Elspeth just says. Another switch on this idea for you to write about is, I know you told me too, but I didn't. And we've had several stories from students in my classes thinking about their childhood. Usually they center around when they were told to watch the baby and they didn't do it. And one person wrote how her baby brother crunched up a Christmas tree ornament. And the mother quick called the doctor, and the doctor said to feed the baby spinach so that it would coat the glass, and that the mother was so worried about the baby and spooning it down the spinach, and the little kid liked the spinach, and so it all worked out well, that the older sister, who had forgotten to watch the baby, didn't even get punished because there was so much excitement. And another story of watching the baby and forgetting to watch the baby, and the baby ate aspirin and had to go to the hospital and have its stomach pumped. Punching the stomach might work, too. So those are stories of, I know you told me to, but I didn't. We brought along one of our favorite books called The Poppy Seed Cakes by Marjorie Clark about Andrushek and his Auntie Katushka. And Jill, this is, these stories are, I know you told me to, but I didn't. Why don't you give us one of those?
This one is The Picnic Basket. One cool summer morning, Andrushek's Auntie Katushka said, Andrushek, I think I will put some sandwiches and some cottage cheese and some poppy seed cakes and 2 eggs in our picnic basket. Then we will go to the park and eat our lunch there, near the water. May I go with you, Auntie Katushka? Said Andrushek. Of course you may go to the park with me, said Auntie Katushka. But first we have a great many things to do before we can start to the park. I must go into the garden and catch the white goat. I will tie her up so she will not run away. Please find the kitten, Andrushek, and put her in the cellar so she will not worry the chickens while we are gone. Yes, indeed, I will find the kitten and put her in the cellar, said Andrushek, so she will not worry the chickens while we are gone. But all Andrushek really did was to lift up the red and white napkin which Auntie Katushka had laid over the picnic basket and look at the eggs and the poppy seed cakes and touch the sandwiches and taste the cottage cheese. The goat was not easy to catch. The goat wanted to go to the park, too. She galloped round and round the garden. At last Auntie Katushka caught her and tied her firmly to a post. Then Auntie Katushka went into the house to get Andrushek and the lunch basket. She saw Andrushek peeping under the red and white napkin and tasting the cottage cheese. He had forgotten all about the kitten. The kitten was nowhere to be found. I think she must be paying a visit to the mouse family, said Auntie Katushka. Then Auntie Katushka put on her bright shawl and took her umbrella with the long crooked handle under one arm. Then she picked up the lunch basket with the red and white napkin on top, and she and Andrushek started for the park. They went down the hill and across the tracks and past the market and down a long street until they came to the park by the water. Andrushek sat down on the grass beside a little stream. Andrushek's Auntie Katushka laid her umbrella with the long crooked handle and the basket of lunch on the grass beside Andrushek. Andrushek, said Auntie Katushka, I must go to the spring and get some water for us to drink. Please watch the basket with the eggs and the sandwiches and the poppy seed cakes and cottage cheese while I am gone. Yes, indeed, I will watch the basket of lunch, said Andrushek. But what Andrushek really did was to say to himself, I would like to take off my shoes and my stockings and wade in the little stream. I believe I will. Andrushek took off his shoes and his stockings and went wading in the little stream. A big white swan came floating calmly down the stream. He saw the picnic basket lying on the grass. He stopped and stretched his long neck till he could touch the basket. Honk, 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 said he. I wonder what is under the red and white napkin. The big white swan lifted the napkin with his red bill and looked in the basket. Oh, oh, won't Mother Swan be pleased with this nice lunch, said he. Sandwich bread makes fine food for baby swans. He picked up the basket in his strong red bill and floated it ahead of him down the stream. Andrushek could not wade after the big white swan. The water was too deep. Stop, stop, white swan, cried Andrushek. That is my Auntie Katushka's picnic basket, and it has our lunch in it. Please put it back on the grass. No, indeed, I will not put the basket back, honked the big white swan. Sandwich bread makes fine food for baby swans, and I have 10 baby swans to feed. The big white swan gave the picnic basket a little push with his red bill. The basket floated on down the little stream. The big white swan floated calmly behind it. Just then Andrushek's Auntie Katushka came hurrying up with the spring water. She saw the big white swan floating down the stream with the lunch basket floating ahead of him. Andrushek stood in the middle of the stream, crying. Auntie Katushka picked up her umbrella with the long crooked handle. Auntie Katushka ran along the shore until she overtook the big white swan with the lunch basket floating ahead of him. She caught the handle of the picnic basket in the crook of her long-handled umbrella. She drew the basket safely to shore. Well, well, said Auntie Katushka, as she spread the red and white napkin on the grass and laid the sandwiches and the poppy seed cakes and the cottage cheese and the eggs upon it. It always pays to carry an umbrella to a picnic.
That was a story from the Poppy Seed Cakes by Marjorie Clark, and you'd probably enjoy getting that book and reading all the stories of what Andrew Scheck doesn't do when he is told to do. So today, write in your stories of I know you told me not to, but, or I know you told me to, but I didn't, and the results. And don't forget that all the results of disobedience are not necessarily bad. You might get away with it. You might blame it on somebody else, as Ted got blamed. It actually may turn out to be something good that you probably should have done anyway, even though you were told not to. And here's a final twist. Sometimes people tell you not to do something because they don't want you to bother, and they think that it is too much bother for you or that you shouldn't do it. Haven't you had somebody say, oh, you mustn't do that, you mustn't do that. It's something that, you know, it'll take your time or it'll take your effort or it'll take your money. Don't do that. Do you remember any time when you went ahead and did something anyway? When you did something nice for a person or got a present for them or disobeyed them when they told you that you shouldn't do something that you thought would be something nice, but that they thought might be a bother. So there's all sorts of angles on I know you told me not to, but, and let's hear your stories. And thanks a lot, Jill and Else, for being here with me.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.